So, just so you know, Samurai, you will be getting Genda's intro with your name substituted in.
That's fine. I am highly flexible.
Okay.
I mean, I've been to Ireland once, so it kind of works.
Are we good to open the channel? And we can answer Grinch.
Sure.
Without typing. All right. And Flynn is in way first.
Way ahead of everybody?
Not way ahead. So did you see Grinch's question? I didn't know if you wanted to answer that.
I do, but it's... let me try to take a moment to think about it and be more constructive, because I'm like, I always think about taking a week off. There's never a week that I'm like...
Honestly, the less news you all have, it's just an opportunity for more derailments.
Yeah.
And a certain part of me thinks that derailments are probably what keeps people coming back to the show.
I think so. I think if it were just pure game content, it would have run its course many episodes ago.
It always strikes me that no, we can't take a week off. That's part of our shtick. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I really appreciate the commitment that me and my co-hosts have to the show, matched only by the commitment that the listeners have to the show. So the least we can do is come on every week, try to be a little bit entertaining. I'm going to start the show, if that's cool.
It's your show.
All right. Greetings, true believers, and welcome to the 188th installment of the Puzzle Warriors 3, the foremost podcast for Ray and I, and a little bit of Marvel Puzzle Quest here and there. Heard in now 58 countries around the world. We're the Puzzle Warriors, Chaos 72, Sneaky Beat 15. He's Ray, and I'm Ian. We're the founders of the Puzzle Warriors Alliance. Craig is away on work-related vacation, so filling in for him this week. Ahead of his premiere on Sunday will be what's happening.
it's the theme song.
Oh, it's happening now. I was like, is Ray playing the recorder or the accordion? Does someone not know that they're on a mic? Thanks. Okay, I'm ready. All hail his grace, Samurai of House Chapel Hill, first of his name, King of the Andals and the First Men, Lord of the Seven Kingdoms, Protector of the Realm. Thanks, Samurai.
Man, I really want some Oreos now.
I saw those! My wife brought some of those home. What's up with that? Are they flavored differently, or they just have special packaging?
You start to enjoy one, and before you can finish it, it dies.
Oh. Okay, I was like, why do you have a bag of Game of Thrones Oreos? And she was like, why wouldn't I? I was like, alright, that's fair.
I mean, if you see an Oreo bag that you have not seen before, you're pretty much morally obligated to buy it. Like, it would have to be a flavor that you just really, really could not deal with.
I've found that that's most of them, because most of them are surprisingly accurate for what they're trying to replicate, but one is the exact number that I need, and then I immediately want the Oreo that I was promised. Like, the ones that are supposed to taste like Peeps, I was like, oh, this is fantastic, I'm done.
Yeah, like, those are the ones that you want in the small sample bag so that you can have two, and your buddy can have two,
ooh,
and your SO can have two, and then y'all are just done
with
it.
Yeah, I would buy that if you could, like, a one row was one flavor, and then the next row another flavor, and then the third row another flavor. You've won me over.
Ooh.
Crazy talk variety pack?
Ian?
Yeah?
Birdie Bot's ever random flavored Oreos.
Those are accurately flavored to the point where when you misstep with them, I've never gone back. Vomit was so convincing that I was like, and no, I'll just stick with Jelly Belly.
but think about it. You buy a bag.
I do like
there would be there,
yeah.
there would be one vomit flavored Oreo, and you wouldn't know which one it is, so somebody in the group would just have to pull that one out, and they would be the one to bite the bullet.
I do kind of like where this variety pack is going. I don't know if Nabisco is listening, but we would like 2 points on the back end if this takes off. Or at least a free bag for each of us.
So in case anybody was completely confused by the whole Game of Thrones thing, I just want to throw it out there. Samurai is doing this at complete last minute effort.
Because yes. Sorry, transparency. Continue, Ray.
Yeah, we had completely prepared to have Jenda McGlynn, our favorite Irishman, on as Craig's replacement.
Former favorite Irishman.
he had a family emergency. I don't think he could help it. He would I think he would probably rather be here. So we wish him and his child and his wife the best. I'm sure it's just a minor thing, but it was enough to pull him away. And but we had prepped the whole Game of Thrones thing because he's a huge Game of Thrones fan. So, you know, we just ran with it.
Right. All right. Now that we've transparency out of the way, Oreos out of the way, yeah. Let's talk about April 10th through the 17th, the year 2019. Now, this is the Ian version of the show, not the Craig version of the show, so expect it to be trim. You already know how many CP you get for completing things, and I'm not telling you what color covers you get for things. You're just going to have to find that out on your own, or accept the fact that you've been playing long enough that you definitely know. So Deadpool dailies. Angel, Black Panther, Magneto, She-Hulk, Deadpool, Gamora, Black Widow, then Loki.
Wow, not even the days.
Nope. Wednesday to Wednesday. You guys got this. I feel like they can count the 5-day 4-star crash of the Titans. Before I get into what I have written down, I accidentally won the Black Widow one. It was much easier than I anticipated, and whoever told me to use those boosts was that was great advice.
Mm.
You're not the only person I heard that was able to do it with. A really undercovered right. Widow. Invisibility is always a huge, huge hidden advantage.
Yeah, huge, huge boon, even with the War Machine out there. As of right now, Spider-Man Infinity War is fighting Ant-Man, and it's curious. I have not won yet, but I don't want to count myself out.
Hmm. You're at a 4-3-1?
That sounds accurate.
Yeah, I mean, I was able to knock it out pretty quickly yesterday. The biggest problem is you've got to have the red to deal the actual damage.
Yeah.
I mean, you with four blue covers, you can survive a fairly long time because
that's true.
whenever he goes to fire off a significant amount of damage, you can mitigate it.
Yep.
But eventually he is going to wear you down. You've got enough covers. If you put him up to about 150, I think you ought to be able to do it. It's going to be difficult just because of your red is underpowered, and that's kind of the power you need to be able to do it. But, I mean, you've got a lot better shot here than you do with a number of your low cover 4-stars.
Okay, good. Yeah, it looked good. The first time I tried it, it went exactly how you described it. I was able to blue my way out of damage for a long time. But the red just wasn't enough. I didn't realize that the red does not consume any web tiles, so that you can, you know, hit it back to back and it's still just as effective as the first time.
And I don't know what supports you have, but I would look through it and see if there's any kind of support that pairs well with what he does.
Okay.
I do see Old Man Sartad on the Discord said, try using Taskmaster's sword to boost damage.
If I had Taskmaster's sword, I would recommend it, but that's one of the few that has eluded me.
I'll see what I have.
No, Ian got one last week, didn't he? So
did I?
So that.
Yeah, I thought you said you had one.
Yeah,
I may have. Oh, look, I definitely got one. That does sound like something I got at some point. Last week, I said I got the Kraven out of the Kraven token, but I do probably have a Taskmaster sword, so I can put that on Infinity War Spider-Man, and hopefully get the job done after the show. After that, I was again, even though you think it's. Scraping. I think it is usually excellent references, but I could not remember which one of the dreadnoughts I was looking at, so I'm not sure who Medusa is facing.
Torch.
Torch. Okay. That makes sense. So she's going to fight the Human Torch here on, the greatest day of the year. Sunday, April 14th, my birthday. So enjoy that crash. Thanks, me. That's another one where I'm undercovered, but I'm optimistic.
Mm. I personally,
you're fine. You are fine.
You talking about the graphic. I personally love the Medusan reference that's in there. That old time Star Trek. That's my jam. I love that.
But yeah, so you say that that at a gentlemanly 343, she'll be able to steamroll.
Back in the day when I was trying to fight crashes with partially covered 4 stars, anything above about 150, 160 was usually good, unless it was a particularly janky one, like Fantastic was always difficult. X-Force Wolverine is always difficult if you don't have the coverage, just because 3-star Cyclops produces an incredible bang for his buck.
For sure.
Medusa, you should be fine, especially with the fact that she can heal herself a little bit. And Torch is going to produce enough attack tiles that you'll be able to...
Between your attack tiles
for healing and his attack tiles for AP, you should be fine. I would definitely go in with a purple boost, though.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Story events. Strange Sight should be wrapping up, and The Hunt should be starting tomorrow. Placement will get you Spider-Man and a Jean Grey. Nope, that's progression. Placement will get you a Moon Knight if you're a top tenner, and an Iron Man Model 40 if you're not. And then I think that's it for stories. We're a little sparse. We are between seasons right now. Does that sound correct?
Yes.
Yes.
So Balance of Power is happening. You can snag a Star-Lord and the Thing in the progression there, or you can finish high enough to get a Thor or a Sentry, if not. And then once the, if you're lost and you look and you will find me, time after time season kicks in, Starfall will kick off the PvP, and you can get yourself a Sentry or Thor, or if you do real good, you can finish with a Valkyrie or a Gamora. And then that is followed up by Lethal Intent, Gamora and Valkyrie, and doing good gets you a Black Widow or a Squirrel Girl. And so that's it. And I don't know anything about the, what do I have to remind, what are we supposed to remind you to finish every season, Ray?
The season ended.
So yeah, you finished? Yeah. You got whatever cover you were supposed to get?
Friday night, I just plowed through it, and I actually managed to get it with a couple wins from people attacking me. So that helped me out quite a bit. Thanks, whoever that was. I don't pay attention to names.
All right. Onward to the superhero showdown. First, let's find out who the next team in the final four is going to be. No. Are we at four or are we at eight?
We're approaching four.
Yes, we are filling in the final four. So now we have, what was it, Mored? Someone the Mystic.
Modred the Mystic versus the Freedom Force.
Versus the Freedom Force. Oh, I can't wait to hear. It's not going to be nearly as exciting as I want it to be, but tell me more, Ray.
All right, first comment. Firstly, Triangle nearly ended me. After everything else I can imagine. As for the battle, I agree with Ray that the power sets involved make for an epic conflict. Scarlet Witch isn't in the tournament, so Ian's division of power argument is moot. Mystique's strange tactic is compelling, except there is no but more valuable. There's no but more valuable to Mystique than her own butt. I see what you're going for there. I give telepathy a slight nod over Precog, and thus the win to Modred. However, other comments. As much as I'd like Modred to win all the counters he has to powers present on the Freedom Force, he's very much outnumbered, so my vote is for Freedom Force. And Modred's best option would be to hide in a corner and strike from the shadows, but since this week's battle is a triangle and not some kind of Mega Mondo Hedron, Freedom Force can cover all the options too easily. Freedom Force for the win. And every other vote I got was for Freedom Force. Modred got one vote.
Oh, yes! Oh, this is shaping up in a really uncomfortable way. Let's see how today goes, and I'll see how I feel about it, but let's step on into the Icasa Sika Trigon and see what Dragon Man versus the Gardener can shuffle out.
Icasa Kai Trigon. I think I saw that on Crunchyroll one time.
I believe you. Ray, tell me about this Dragon Man feller.
Sure. So I think I've been downplaying Dragon Man when I've done him in the past. He, because the one thing that it says under his weaknesses is that he has an intellectual capacity of a domestic dog. And that really,
right,
I think,
but that
is,
got fixed that, the last
that was
couple
fixed.
Battles. Yeah.
Exactly. So he is actually intelligent.
Yeah.
And he breathes fire. He can fly. I mean, he looks like a big-headed gargoyle to me. But in any case, I think he's a formidable physical opponent. I think his goal is to fly in fast and strike hard, get the breath weapon off as soon as it recharges. And he doesn't need to recharge. That's a D&D thing. But in any case, I think he's going to be the, you know, run straight at it kind of strategy going on.
Does any of his abilities, are any of them listed as immunity to the power primordial?
No. Ah! I got superhuman stamina.
did you ever possess the soul gem? Because the gardener sure did.
I thought he had two at one point.
Yeah, he probably did. He's a resourceful guy.
Yeah.
He also has telekinesis, levitation, and unlimited plant control. Yeah, I think he also had the time gem for a while.
Plant control, eh?
I think it's what he used. I think that's what he squandered the time gem on, was making plants bloom to their peak and then freezing them there.
This is why I don't like druids in my party.
Not again, D&D. Ah, my nerdiness is getting in the way of my dorkiness.
I think it's going to be a hard task, but again, I don't have to kill you because your character is immortal.
That's
but
true.
I just have to, like, you know, disable you, knock you down.
Correct.
Get that three count.
Right. I agree. I think, I feel like, wait, can you do a flight?
I do.
Okay. Well, that'll negate my levitation. So maybe my power primordial and telekinesis can keep you at bay long enough to submit you. But
I think the key is the breath weapon.
Mm. It always is. I feel like I could probably shield myself with plants from it. Shut down that breath weapon. But I don't know. This is the final slot for the final four. So take care when you vote, everybody. And please don't hesitate to vote. This is the gardener, the versus dragon man.
Make your deck save.
Yeah. So
as long as Zion doesn't end up in this final four, I'm happy.
I don't even think that's an option at this point. But we'll see. Come on, Gardner. Or Dragonman. So, we've got some really sparse goings-on in the way of news this week. But let me tell you what that is. The all-new support circuit that hit shelves here in January? February? Recently in my mind, that could mean any number of years in reality.
I was thinking January, but I'm certainly not sure of that.
All right.
Yeah, it's January. January.
Great. So, support circuit. Here it is. It's January. New opportunities for everybody to do some new events, earn supports. And they've been reading all of the available feedback that the community has been offering them over these last couple go-throughs of support circuit. And it's gone. So, starting.
So you're saying it's recently reworked.
Well, it's on an indefinite hiatus. So yeah, this Monday, that was the beginning of the support circuit break.
Whoa, you're breaking up. Are you okay? Are you there?
Whoa, what happened, dude? Hello? Am I still on the show? I better check my Discord. Samurai, you still there? Oh, nope, everything's gone wrong. Everything's gone wrong. Oh, is there no one
okay.
left? Yeah, Ray's back.
And
it's the best show
we're
ever.
Back.
And we're back.
I have no idea what just happened. Are you there, Samurai?
Yeah, somebody next to Discord servers must have hit a gas main or something.
That would make sense.
Oh, that was scary futuristic horror right there. All right, but anyway. So anyway, as I was saying, support circuit's on hiatus. They're going to work through some stuff, and maybe it'll come back, or maybe a new version of it'll come back. We'll never know. But thanks for taking everybody's input into consideration. Local news is sparse as far as I... Do you have the listener local news? Because all I have is I can't wait to get to Steel City Comic Con and have some fun in Pittsburgh this weekend.
What was the, I did, I, one thing, Perondiac, unfortunately, I think missed out this week, but I did have one thing from Jeff Duggan.
Okay.
Hey-o. Sorry, I always wait first to jump in. He said, as I write this, last night's episode of Jeopardy, and I think that was last night because he wrote this earlier today, so it would have been Tuesday night, featured a state college resident and associate professor at Penn State University who is also a high school classmate of Jeff's and former Quiz Bowl teammate. So, I don't know, shout out, I took a look, Ariana Mikulski was, on Jeopardy, so I don't know how she did, but, yeah, there was an article about it, and she just talks about how it was an interesting experience, so I'm assuming she didn't win, I don't know, but in any case, that was it, that's all I got for local news.
Okay, I've got some.
I have some local news to
Ooh,
I want to bounce this off of Ian and see what he thinks. So,
okay.
The Durham Bulls. The AAA minor league team that plays in, you know, the infamous Bull Durham ballpark opens its first home game is tomorrow. We're taking our stuff out there Friday to show off. They have announced some of their new foods for this year, and I'm going to try a couple of these, and I wanted to get your impression before I had a chance to try them out.
All right, tell me more.
Okay, the Waffle Mac. It is mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Topped with grilled chicken, bacon, and chives. Served in a waffle cone bowl.
Is it layered in a way that I can scrape off the chives?
I'm sure you can get it without chives.
Oh, I'm on board.
Okay.
Down on the chives? Weird.
Yeah, I'm not down with chives.
Okay.
They're also offering a burger, but instead of a bun, they crisp it up and then they sandwich it between two pieces of Texas toast with onions, melted cheese, and bacon.
Oh, yeah. You've already won me over. Keep going.
Okay. Now, this one's not going to be available tomorrow, but later in August, they're going to do sweet potato tater tots with topped with barbecue and melted cheese.
It depends on how the barbecue sauce is flavored. It sounds sweeter than I like in an entree, but...
It's the one true barbecue. It's Eastern North Carolina vinegar-style barbecue.
That'll help cut through the sweetness, so maybe. Maybe.
And then in July, they're doing chicken and waffles. In a waffle bowl.
Wow. That is very waffle forward.
Yeah, apparently waffle is the thing this year.
Cool.
So yeah, that's all I had for local news. I just wanted to taunt you with some crazy...
It's not delicious eating?
It's not like our state fair food, which, you know, those tend to go completely off the rails, but I wanted to bounce that off of you before I had a chance to actually see the stuff.
Awesome. I'm envious of your upcoming eating experience. Yeah, so all's quiet in news world. Perhaps people wrote the show with comments, suggestions, and questions. Any news from them, Willie Lumpkin?
No.
Oh, that's too soon! I can't host this show! I can't read my own script! Pretend like I didn't say that!
Okay.
All right.
The writer slip. We have a script. Why bother to
read? I don't know. I was completely stunned by what's going on in Discord. I got, they're saying that Cactus Jack might have quit the game, which is just, that's astounding.
I'm trying to follow
to
that along too, but I'm also trying to do the show, so I didn't know what to do, and I was really stressed out about it. Thanks for helping me through that.
We ended up beating each other in the Shield Sim like a couple of days ago, trying to get to 2,000. He knocked me back a few points, and I was like, damn it, Cactus Jack. And then I reflexively yelled out, bang, bang.
Yeah.
And the folks in my house are just like, what are you talking about?
In case it's true. I will give a sad bang, 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 bang. So anyway, let's do some Always Sunny in Xandar. This week on It's Always Sunny in Xandar, Okoye makes a smut film.
I read that earlier, but I was still not prepared.
Yeah, tell us about Okoye, Samurai. You're a guy who knows some things about some stuff.
Well, I was here for Five Star Thor, and I'm here for Okoye, so I get a chance to talk about the team that carries me to 900 or 1,000 in every PvP. I'm not going to worry about backstory. I can't even really tell you about what she does at her base powers. I can just tell you what my level 451 Champ Okoye does for me every couple of days. She is a black, yellow, red. Her first power is Wakanda Forever, also known as Please Don't Ask Me to Do That Again When You See Me Out on the Street.
For sure.
It's a passive. Damage from friendly powers is increased by a certain amount for each team-up that you have. And Okoye's base team-up match damage is increased from 30, 40, 50, and then at full covers, it's increased by 90%. Now, at the start of the turn, if a Koi is not in front, you lose one friendly team-up AP. So that's her bedrock offensive support power. Her yellow, Indomitable Spirit, this is the other half of what makes her so amazing. For a mere 7 yellow, she true heals based on the number of team-up tiles you have on the board, and then she converts a number of basic tiles to team-up tiles. I think the progression is 2-2-3-3-4, so at full covers, she's making 4 team-up tiles every time she fires it off. And that cost actually, I have to remember it's 7. In PvE, if you've got her support, you can make that power 1 or 2 cheaper if you've got the Royal Talon Fighter. Yep, just like Donkey Teeth, yeah. It is amazing how when you suddenly speed up a match and instead of for every 7, every 5, and suddenly you're casting it 2 or 3 times as opposed to 1 or 2. Her third power is really good, but unfortunately it's the third wheel of her set of abilities. Piercing Throw. For 11 red, she basically destroys a row and deals a certain amount of damage, and then also deals damage for each tile she destroys in the enemy's strongest color. That is an incredibly good ability, but I think the line destruction is probably more important than the amount of damage she deals. I notice, Ray, you're running her at a 5-3-5. I don't know if that was is something that you found that works better for you.
Yeah, so I did notice that you marked that on the graphic.
I did see when I saw that, all I could imagine was I assume you guys are familiar with that Drake gif where he's, or the Drake meme where he's looking at Ray's abilities and he's sad and hunched away, and then he's looking at the other one. Yeah, that's all I could see. I don't know why.
So I use her like that 5-3-5 most of the time, but it's because I don't spend a lot of time in PvP. If I'm moving over to PvP and I'm going to be using her with Thor, I switch those powers around to a 5-5-3. But in PvE, she doesn't get hurt that much, so I don't need the healing and the extra. And I'm not using Thor with her usually, so that red power doing more damage can just knock people out.
Hold on. I'm sorry. You'll run that by me again. You're not using her with Thor.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, I have to reboot my brain here for a second. You're not using
not Okoye always. Sometimes. I will use her with like Strange and like Black Bolt, because both of them are automatically doing damage.
Yeah,
and she's boosting that damage to levels that are insane. So that's my quick run through. If I have Thor, if I have him hurt or anywhere near half, then yeah, he makes it a quick match no matter what.
Yeah. I keep her at the same loadout, and I just, you know, whether it's PvP or PvE, I try to make sure that, and normally it's match, team up, yellow or black to make sure that she continues to tank. Although when Dr. Doom is the 5-star essential, it's really annoying because he completely overrides all 3 of the tiles that she would normally match. So it, when that happens, you've basically got to, you know, speed your pull process up because he's slowly siphoning the team up away.
Right. Yeah. The slow loss of team up is way more devastating than you'd expect when you first start playing her.
But, she was not absolutely essential to me getting back into a good level with PvP. I managed to do that when I champed Jessica Jones, and Thor Jess was what I was using to have a fighting chance against Gambit when he was still, you know, in his undefeated era. Now that, you know, those two have, I sail to 900 or 1,000, and most of the time I only have to shield once, and it's glorious. Which is why I worry to death that one of them's going to get balanced at some point and, you know, the happy times are going to be over. Although, maybe that's not necessarily going to be the case with Gritty being as powerful as it is. But
way too powerful.
I'm sorry.
I just said way too powerful. Not that I'm suggesting that Kitty be nerfed. I think it's just she quickly rose to the top, but there are ways around her. So
yeah. Well, I think the thing that worries me a little more about Okoye than Gritty is Okoye's self-healing is so good that she cuts down on the need to burn taco tokens or spend hero points for health packs. And I'm sure that, you know, somebody in either the D3 or Demiurge is going to listen to this podcast later this week and go, you know what? He's absolutely right. And I'm going to shoot myself in the foot. But, you know, that's Okoye has saved me so many hero points over the years.
She is going the way of Venom.
No,
is that
Donkey
what you're...
Teeth, you are wrong. Gritty is a far superior portmanteau to Rocket Cat. That's it. End of discussion.
All right.
Right. Is that
so
what's always Sunny
and Xandar? Sunny and Xandar. Sorry.
No, that's okay. All right. Let's see what you got in that mailbag, Willy Lumpkin.
Okie dokie. There were some decent amount of comments this week. First, I wanted to hit Storm of Fire over on the D3 forums. Said, I agree so much in regards with the Scarlet Witch art to what we said. She said it's too uwu, which, man, I had to look that up. Apparently that's anime happy. It's too uwu and cutesy and makes her look several years younger than Quicksilver. Nice art, but the fantastic, it's like the Fantastic Four covers. It feels a bit icky that the female character is made to look like a child or a doll rather than the young adult woman that she is. Also said, we make jokes about the Cyclops and Black Panther's butt poses, but the artists are for the game have done a great job over the past few years keeping things tasteful and capturing a wide range of characters, so it's a bit weird with Scarlet Witch being cuter and less cynical, but does say that I do sort of like the Carol change with the slightly lighter and less angry eyebrows. So, there you go. I specifically left that in because Storm of Fire regularly comments on art, and we don't get a lot of comment about art in the positive. We notice things that are negative, but I just thought.
Well, that's because every time we see Iceman, it just creeps us out.
Well, that is still true. So I did want to mention this. I had it in the list because you weren't going to be on the show. But you commented, you'll never make it to 60 as I rack up almost 100 fake internet points.
I got a lot of internet points off of that. I was happy.
So that one downvote didn't do that much damage.
Nope.
I stand by my downvote.
I stand by my ethnic slur.
D-Wing's wall of text I parsed down quite a bit. He said that the best part about Cravan was that you could buy supports for HP instead of vault chances where you just get 2 stars. I bought a couple.
I bought 4 or 5 of those. And
oh, yeah?
Unfortunately, I didn't get... I got a better Hydra henchman, but everything else was a duplicate, so meh. But at the same time, going back to the news about the support circuit getting revamped... I think that was one of the fundamental issues that people were unhappy with was you could place in the top 10 and still get your reward was a token. So there was a chance that you could go through all the effort and hit your timing just right and grind at just the right moment and get into the top 10 and end up with a 2-star for your reward. And I think that really rubbed a few people the wrong way. And I can certainly understand that being an issue.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a decent amount of work to get in the top 10. D-Wing also said, I don't always have a good grip on you three, as I have occasionally proven, but Ian is not who I would have expected to non-sequitur into I smell terrible. Well, see, what you missed there is I don't think the other two of us would have really noticed. Anyway, he also said, I watch trailers because I know I will rarely, if ever, actually see a movie. That's sad, but understandable.
It is, yeah. I'm with you there, Ray. That is a downer, but I totally get it.
Yeah. Wall of text trademarked. Let's start a GoFundMe to have Rob Lowe replaced from his new gig by the god of the infographic, thus creating mental UNC samurai.
And what was my response?
Oh, I don't have that in front of me.
I said, I'll check with you. I could never do Sam Seaborn dirty like that. I take it neither of you are West Wing nerds. That's
no.
Perfectly
nope.
Fine.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that was an option.
I mean,
can you be heavily into West Wing?
There were two places I knew Rob Lowe from, Wayne's World and West Wing. Well, in Parks and Rec. So three places that I knew Rob Lowe from.
He was great in Parks and Rec.
He really was excellent in Parks and Rec.
I think he really helped save the show. Grinch said on the Discord just now that he always imagined that I smelled faintly of patchouli. You take that back.
He said he imagined it.
I know. I really hate patchouli.
Right. But again, even if through some, maybe like the website, if at first glance, if I were to stereotype how you smelled just by looking at you, I have two options, and patchouli is one of them.
Okay, that is a valid point. All right, there's more in the mailbag. Let me, this one's kind of long. Norman B. 616, he said, post-cognitive abilities are never to be underrated. I give you next year's champion, Hindsight Lad, or Hindsight, as he's now called, Carlton Laphroaig, who, that's a French spelling of a Scottish word. That's weird. In any case, he says, here's the current timeline in the 616 universe. Carlton has become reclusive, paranoid, self-proclaimed Marvelologist, and an expert on the truth of Marvel Universe. So through his website and newsletter, he propagates conspiracy theories, including the Galactus hoax theory, a claim that the president is a Skrull, and a conspiracy theory that all events in the Marvel Universe are being orchestrated by an Illuminati group comprised of, this is my favorite part, Beta Ray Bill, Brother Voodoo, Dazzler, Lockjaw, Deadpool, and Puck. If that is accurate, I want to know how those people got together. That is amazing. Finally, he also said that he had chicken and waffles last night at Bellows Cafe in Mount Union, and it served as a reminder of his childhood. Chicken cut up into gravy, poured over the waffles, nary a bottle of syrup in sight. Hashtag chicken and waffles news, hashtag regional news. So there you go. And finally, we had a question from the website from Mitch, veteran losing interest. He says he loves the show and he listens to every episode. I have been playing this game for years, but have lost interest and the will to do more than one node per day. The only thing that keeps me going is this podcast. I would reinvest in the game if the devs introduce an auto-matching game mechanic for all the easy nodes and the daily Deadpool. I could just enable auto-matching setting, get past it without getting bored. For the hard nodes, use the system would be a gamble and cost me more health packs. For this reason, I think the system would be balanced. Let me know what y'all think about this. So what do you think about an auto-matching feature?
I think somebody's been playing Marvel Strike Force.
I have.
Okay.
I mean,
anyway, I don't want to talk about it too much on this show, but I understand about, you know, because I play a Star Wars game that has a, you know, that feature as well. Once you've beaten the easy stuff enough, you can just be like, auto beat this. And then you get the rewards and you get to move on to something else.
I certainly get where he's coming from. And, you know, given the fact that we've heard Cactus Jack may have quit and my various alliances, I hear about other veterans. And, yeah, I hopefully there's a QFL update that comes along that sort of reinvigorates things. You know, I've certainly seen it's a lot easier for me to compete in the PvP range that I do than it has been in previous seasons. That being said, part of me says I don't know if we need an auto win feature, because that's the sort of thing that comes with, and that might be fine for that game, but there are other issues with some of those other games, and I think your Star Wars game is the same way, where those games are based on a limited amount of energy, so there's a limited amount of play that you can do, which I don't know about you. I really dislike that feature, because if I want to knock everything out at once, I don't want to have to be told, okay, you can play this game for 10 or 20 minutes and then stop and then have to come back to it later. I like the flexibility that Puzzle Quest offers without having to wait or pay to refill energy.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that statement. The other thing that I would say about it is I really don't like the games with autoplay. Now, this is a completely personal preference, but if you don't have to put anything into the game, how is it going to keep my interest anymore? to me, the tap-tap-tap games, the games that you just have to swish in one direction, anything where it's just repetitive and not, you don't have to, I mean, Marvel Puzzle Quest, if you just want to play it as a match three, you can. It doesn't take a whole lot of interest in any case. To me, putting in that feature would not be beneficial.
I would say that at the five-star tier, it's a little more of a match three game than it is at the four-star tier. Because
that's very true. Yeah.
But no, I completely agree that the auto win basically is this is not a knock against any game developer, but an auto win button or an auto play button is kind of a lazy workaround for my game is getting repetitive. And there are occasionally times when Marvel Puzzle Quest gets a little repetitive. I think the trying to get to 2000 in the season simulator gets a little repetitive. I think PvP gets a little repetitive as you're trying to climb above a certain threshold. But part of that is just because of the way the five-star meta stagnates a little bit.
Right.
But I would also say there are a lot of nodes where we have an easy auto-win button, and it's called five-star Thanos or three-star Thanos.
Pretty close to it.
Yeah. When I'm doing my PvE and when I'm doing my Deadpool Daily, I would say that the last two nodes of the Deadpool Daily, the Enchilada and the required three-star, where you can actually pull out Thanos, those go a lot quick. Like, the hardest nodes for me are the two where I have to be forced to play with the two-stars, because that draws the match out. The most difficult nodes for me in PvE are the ones where you have to use one of the essentials that isn't necessary, one of the suboptimal essentials. Like, let's say Ghost or Wiccan is the four-star essential this week. That means that I may still be using Gritty or Thor Koye, but I still have to plan around the four-star that I use to, you know, make the matches go a little bit faster rather than just having to rely on my super team. I get where he's coming from. I do think that there are a few issues with the game, and I don't think they're inherently solvable. I think that repetition is going to be part of any mobile game. I don't know if the I punch a button, I win is necessarily healthy for the mindset around developing that game.
Yeah. I also have a friend who every day plays a some sort of zombie killing game, and there's the option of just battling everything automatic unless you're going up against another player. And that just, it drives me nuts. I don't know why. That to me, that there's no interest there. But in any case.
Yeah. In any case, Mitch, I hear you, buddy.
Yeah.
I mean, as Grinch pointed out earlier in the show that you can't see here, he calls the one note a day the Ian play plan. So I feel ya. Again, I also, you know, am listening to my co-host. I don't know that an auto win is going to make me feel better about, you know, having to grind it out every day. And, you know, that doesn't make the grinding go away. That does seem, I don't know. And I do know also what you're thinking. I do play other mobile games where that is an option, and I use the heck out of that option. But it's not the zombie killing game, right? You don't have to get angry with me just yet. I don't think there's an easy answer, and I don't have anything other than a little bit of solidarity and support for you. I certainly don't have the answers.
Yeah.
I would say take a break, but you may never come back, so I don't want to lose you forever. So hang in there for as long as you can. Maybe something will spark your interest. Go on the one note a day diet for a while. Maybe something cool will happen and you'll get to feast again for a little bit, but then just switch back to the one note a day diet. It helps.
I gotta say, every now and then, I drop back to just doing the daily Deadpool, and I'm like, all right, I'm done. It's just, you know, I've played for, I don't know how long I played. Is it 5 years almost? I mean, 4 years?
I don't know. I'll find out here when someone tells me to open up Steam, but sure. I'll let you know.
But, I mean, every now and then, I get to the point where I'm like, all right, I did the daily Deadpool, and that's all. I'm out for today. But then something happens, like, you know, I got to champion Old Man Logan finally. And I don't care how people got angry when he got nerfed. He's fun. He is fun to play at champion, in PvE at least. So
I'll tell you why I got angry.
Okay.
I paid for my 13th Logan cover.
Mm.
The rewards that they offered in comparison for it getting balanced. Again, this is nothing personal against the people at D3 and Demiurge. But that was complete garbage.
Yeah.
What I got offered was nothing compared to the 720 CP that I invested in him. But you
this
know,
is
that's
nothing personal. But I'll kill them all. You're all gonna pay.
Well, no. See, I've been a play tester for a lot of tabletop gaming stuff, and I've worked on both the retail and the industry side of tabletop gaming. And you end up with a lot of people that get really upset when you mess with their favorite thing. And you know, I don't want to be the one to say, you know, how dare you mess up this really good thing I had going. But, you know, 720 CP is a lot.
Yeah.
Now, I've paid 250 since then for a couple of 13th covers to make specific people to champ specific five stars. But I'm never spending that money again. And I'm certainly never spending 500 CP on a five star cover because I don't think that's necessarily worth it.
Yeah. We have an Alliance member who did the exact same thing with Gambit about a week before the Gambit nerf came out. Oof. So, yeah, completely understandable. I did think that was worth bringing up, and I'm glad we had the conversation. But hey, let's move on. We're running late.
Yeah.
Oh, right on.
Let's run into the next segment so I can slow us down again.
That's it. I'm taking it back. There are some characters. They're boosted. The end. Ah.
All right,
is there any more mail?
All right, Ian, come on.
What's that? No, I didn't know. Are you done with the mail, Ray?
Oh, yes, that was it. I saved that for last because I figured there'd be a conversation.
Nice. All right. I am Hans.
And I am Franz.
And we just, want,
we just
to
want
pump.
To pump.
You up.
You up.
Sketchy, but I like it.
Okay.
We don't want to hear it, Craig.
Let's take a look at this list. Ooh. One-star Spider-Man is boosted. That's always fun for the newbies.
Yeah.
I mean, he's cheap, and he is super effective. I keep a couple of 005 Spider-Mans to send out as team-ups because I think they're almost as good. I think they're almost as good as Juggernaut, and I think they're better than a 05 Modern Black Widow at this point as a team-up to send.
Dude, you really are starting in the one-stars? You're on my enemy list. Thank you for filling in, and I love you, but...
So, in the three-stars, we've got Black Widow. She's, oh man, great, great green tile creation, and that's going to be a solid AoE. Daredevil, his boot to the head is going to be a little bit stronger. His radar sense is going to deal a little more damage as it sweeps away special tiles. His blue is going to be the same. Dr. Doom, his purple is going to deal more damage if you ever actually manage to get the necessary AP and have enough tiles out.
It still takes forever.
Yeah. His attack tiles are going to be boosted, which is kind of nice, and I'll talk about that a little more in a minute. And then, of course, he's got his blue to black AP creation, which makes him surprisingly good as a support character in a couple of teams. The Hood. He's finally, when he's boosted, his health finally gets to a point where he's a comparable three-star. His black countdown is going to be a little more effective, or it's going to deal some damage when it does the countdowns. And his yellow is going to deal a fair amount of damage for that tier, but I really do not like an ability that says, end your turn after doing this. I mean, if I'm going to be casting an ability that says end your turn after doing this, it better be something really spectacular, like create some insane strike tiles to get back to the Logan. And everybody's favorite person named Doreen, Squirrel Girl, her yellow protect tiles are going to be bigger, but once again, never use
ending
that yellow.
Ending the turn, yeah.
Yeah, and ending the turn, wrong tool, never use this. Her purple is a special tile remover that also deals some damage, I believe. And just like Vincent Shamwell, you're going to love her nuts this week. They're going to deal more damage. In fact, the Hood's black and Squirrel Girl's green are a really, really, really good pairing for the three-star tier. That's a nice little... Also, Daredevil. Hood will make Daredevil's blue billy club expire quicker so that you can get it out there and stun people more often. All right, so let's get up to the four-star tier. Recently reworked Ghost Rider. The reason you run him is that's not really going to get a boost, but his attack tiles are going to get bigger. His green is going to have a slightly better AoE, even though that's usually the color that you sacrifice covers for in favor of his red and black. The attack tiles from both his green and his red are going to be boosted, and he's going to deal some nice damage from his red. Well, more on him in just a minute. Miles Morales. He's really good with Vulture and then either 5-star Peter Parker or 4-star Iron Spider.
Mm-hmm.
His purple is going to deal some really nice damage if you get enough AP, but the nice thing is his yellow ability will help you accelerate that AP because you're going to get purple, red, and blue off of it, which feeds his purple and is going to feed 5-star Peter Parker's red and blue or just Iron Spider's red. And then his Venom Blast is going to deal some damage, and it's got a one-turn stun. But if you're going to run him with either of the two Spider-Mans, you're going to want to dump red because their red is obviously going to be more effective. He's a wonderful team player, and him getting a boost puts him to a point where he can be on sort of the same playing field as a high-level 5-star. So he'll work really well with Peter Parker in that respect. Oh, the hidden gem of this boosted list, the Punisher. He's got every which way to create strike tiles and deal damage. His black has two phases. He can deal some damage and then deal more damage based on your strike tiles. Or if everybody else is, if he's the only character that's active for your team, you can fire that power for a little less. It creates some strike tiles and deals a ton of damage based on your strike tiles. And funny enough, he's got a green AoE that also stuns the rest of your team so that you can fire the green, deal a nice AoE, and oh, by the way, if you've already knocked somebody down, that damage is going to get boosted. So you can use that. You basically drop an enemy, fire his green, he deals a ton of damage, stuns his two opponents, and then he can fire off his black and deal an absolutely insane amount of damage and really ruin somebody's birthday on the other side. Oh, we always love Red Hulk, don't we? Y'all know how he works by now. You match purple and green. You use his purple to make more green, and it also has a wonderful side effect of completely denying your opponent his green. If you have him fully covered, champed, and when he's boosted, and you get enough green, he's going to be dealing 15,000 plus with his AoE for just 9 AP. That is the easiest just I win button you will ever come across. And Eddie Venom.
Did you say just 9? I'm skeptical about that claim.
It's 9 for the base. It's 18.
I'm saying if you want to do the 15,000 plus,
it only costs 9, but you still have to spend the 18. So you can start
that
about.
That didn't
you
clarify can, any of my questions. But
okay.
<thank you.
laughs> All right. Okay. So basically, you need 18 to deal the super damage, but right. you can fire it off with just 9.
Correct.
I believe there is a way that you can manipulate that, because technically it still only costs 9, it just burns the 18. I'm sure there is one very obscure way that can be manipulated. I can't think of it right now. Okay. Oh, cool. And Eddie Venom.
Yes.
Recently reworked. I know you've a couple times before tried to wrap your head around how he works. Basically, his yellow, when you deal enough damage, it makes some enemy projectiles that aren't that good because his black debuffs enemy projectiles. And then once you have enough projectiles on the board, as well as whatever special tiles that you generate, enemy special tiles make his green cheaper. He deals damage, and then he destroys tiles based on the number of enemy special tiles. So the more projectiles he throws out for your opponent, his green's going to get cheaper, and it's going to deal more board shake. And his yellow is going to deal more damage. So he, in theory, what he does is he hands you projectiles, but those projectiles just make you more vulnerable. It's a neat theory. I don't know if it works all that well in execution. I think partly just because the powers are a little expensive and the damage is a little underwhelming. But he can be worked with. I think there are ways. I think there are ways to make that useful. Never, ever, ever. Run Eddie Venom against Bishop, ever. All you are going to do is make Bishop that much more nasty, because you're handing him blue AP every turn by giving him those projectiles.
Yeah, I think that there are maybe several people that is true of against Bishop. However, yeah, he's really bad against Bishop. Yeah.
So I gave you some of my recommendations for this week. If you're looking for new and interesting ways to shake up your team lineup, the Punisher is the way to go this week. His strike tiles can benefit a number of people. Dokken is not boosted, but 3-star Dokken, when you make a green match, he throws out some strike tiles, and you've got the green to help feed Punisher's abilities, so that's a nice team up. Punisher's strike tiles are also going to work well, both with Ghost Rider and 3-star Doom's attack tiles, and Doom's blue will help feed the black that Punisher is eventually going to use once he fires the green to army of one of your opponents into the ground. So I think this is a very workable list this week. I think there's some flexibility. I like some of the synergies between the 3 and 4-star a little better than I like the pure 4-star level. But this is definitely one of the better lists we've had in a couple weeks, even with the fact that there are 4 green active abilities among the 5 4-stars. There's been so much color overlap lately. I don't understand how that we've got like 80 characters. I'm sure there's a way to do a little bit of color balancing. But, you know, that's that. I'm not the one that gets paid to come up with these lists. I just don't get paid to come up with the infographic. Brought to you by
Mystify.
And what is Mystify an ancient Algonquin term for, Ian? Open Steam.
Oh. All right. Smart. All right. So let's head over to the support corner.
Oh, yeah.
Ray, would you like to hook us up with some in-game support information?
You bet I would. Some limited information, but I want to talk about, as Craig calls it, SP/SDR, or Doctor. SP Doctor, I think is what I can't remember what he called it.
It's the SP/SDR.
Who we actually got to see in the Spider-Man Enter the Spider-Verse, which I did finally see this week, so...
Yeah, for seeing.
Finally caught up. It was way more cartoony than I expected, but it's good. It's a solid flick.
You weren't expecting that much cartooniness out of a cartoon?
I expected it to be less cartoony. I mean, I knew it was a cartoon, yeah. But it was very playful, and the animation was fantastic. The story was solid. I have no complaints about it. Don't take this as a negative thing. It was just, right. I expected a little bit more of a serious tone because of some of the clips I had seen previously, but that was my expectations. But in any case, so this is the I don't have her name in front of me, but Penny Parker, that's the name. She's a Japanese girl whose father invented a Spider-Man-like external robot suit for her. In any case, she shows up in the movie, and for some reason, becomes quick and fast friends with Spider-Ham, the Spider-Pig. That's not what it's called, but in any case, she can be equipped to any hero, and at 1-star, when you make a match 5, you get a 50% chance to give your team a burst of 3,000 health. Now, these numbers are at max level, so it's not going to be that much at first, but a team burst of health on a critical match, that sounds pretty good. 3-stars, at the start of the battle, you get a chance to gain AP at maximum level. It's an 80% chance to gain 6 yellow AP, very useful for spider characters for the most part. And at rank 5, supported characters' base blue match damage increases 531 at max level. So again, blue, commonly used by the spider characters. But specifically, if you put this team up on Spider-Ham, when an enemy matches a friendly special tile, which I always like the abilities that if they're taking away my special tile, I want to do something back to them. But you get a 75% chance to stun a random enemy for 2 turns. That is a really good synergy perk. 75% chance to just stun someone for 2 turns. Now, that's, again, a max level, so... But even when it's at 1 turn, a random stunning, I'll take that. That's pretty good.
That screams Carnage Medusa.
Wow, yeah, absolutely. That would be really good. So there you go, Spider-Ham, Carnage Medusa, with your Penny Parker. So there you go. That's the in-game support. And I didn't do the intro. Anyway.
Yeah, that's okay.
Samurai, do you have a out-of-game support this week?
Why, I certainly do. Hi, everyone. My name is Samurai.
Hi, Samurai.
So, Ian.
Yes.
Ray.
Yes.
Have y'all been lazy the last few days and decided, I don't want to cook tonight. I'm just going to microwave whatever food I have left over.
For the sake of this segment, yes.
I'm sure you've used a microwave to reheat food.
I have used a microwave, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not much of a leftovers guy. I prefer to waste them. But I absolutely use my microwave on at least a weekly basis.
Okay. You ever wondered how such a wonderful device came to be available for home use?
Somewhat.
So, back during the war.
The Great War?
The other Great War, the Second World War. The British were working on a radar array, and they had a wonderful set of radar that let them see the German planes coming in, but the long-wave radar that they were using required some really tall antennas, and they were looking for a way to make those smaller because smaller radar towers and smaller dishes mean less chance of it getting destroyed, and they also wanted something they could fit on their ships. So they were trying to figure out, how do you make a radar array smaller? Well, there was an Australian physicist named Mark Oliphant, and he was working with a couple of British physicists named Harry Boot and John Randall. And they just decided, let's mess around with things. And one of the things they messed around with was something that was built in the U.S. about 20 years before. It was called a magnetron. And basically what it was just a giant electron tube that was encased in glass. And so they decided, okay, what happens if we put it in copper instead of glass? Oh, wow, this does some neat stuff. And then on top of that, they said, oh, well, what happens if we drill all of these holes in the copper to magnify the effect and, you know, make all these little cavities? Suddenly, it was creating some insane radio waves. And that's what became the cavity magnetron. Their initial tests with it were really, really successful. The yes, magnetron is one of the transformers. The first field test they did with it, they were able to spot a British submarine periscope from 6 miles away with the new antenna. So they were like, this is wonderful. This is perfect. Long story short, radar helps the Allies win the war. And you've got all this military tech as the war is drawing down. And all these people that have been saving up their money for years and years said, okay, you know, what do we do? We're consumers. We want to buy stuff again. You know, we're tired of not buying cars and stoves and saving up because of the war. And in the 40s, this company decided, what if we took that cavity magnetron that makes these really powerful waves? What if we use that to create heat and use that to rapidly apply that heat to food? And the first microwave oven, the first dedicated microwave oven was built in 47 by the Raytheon company. It's called the Radarange. I've actually seen one of these many years ago. The nuclear cargo ship Savannah used to be docked in Charleston. That was one of the things on the tour, was you could see one of the first ever microwave ovens. And, you know, the thing is huge. It's like one of those computers from the 50s. It takes up more space than an oven does, but you could cycle plates through it really fast. So that was this amazing thing. Well, as technologies want to do, things get smaller, things get cheaper. You start seeing commercial models come out in the 50s. And then the Japanese consumer market got a hold of the technology in the 60s, and the price just collapsed to the point where by the late 60s, early 70s, you start seeing ovens come out that are small enough and inexpensive enough that they can put one in every home. And so, you know, thanks to the British wanting to be able to spot German aircraft and submarines at a far distance, you can at 3 a.m. get up, lumber into the kitchen, open up the fridge, grab that old slice of pie, stick it in the microwave, and in, you know, a minute and a half, you can have a lukewarm piece of pie to eat. And, you know, satisfy your late night hunger.
The Puzzle Warriors and the Puzzle Warriors 3 and all their affiliates do not condone microwaving a pie. These are the opinions solely of UNC Samurai. Please continue.
I found it amusing. I had to laugh because you mentioned the Raytheon company. I could just go down the road and see if they had one of these old microwaves in their museum case or something.
I'm sure they do. I mean, these things were, like I said, they were just like computer mainframes back in the day. They're bigger than the regular ovens that when I renovated my kitchen not too long ago, a couple years ago, I had to pull an old like 1940s gas stove out of the old kitchen, and that thing was a monstrosity. And, you know, we left it out on the front lawn, and by the time we had called the city to, you know, get the garbage and whatnot to come pick it up, somebody had stolen it for the scrap metal. So, you know, no sweat off my back. But yeah, that's the cavity magnetron, which gave us the microwave oven. Brought to you by Fortify.
Fortify yourself.
all right. Let's get opening. because I opened my Steam and I'm prepared. And Ray, you had mentioned earlier, I'm about where you are. You're a little bit ahead of me. I'm about 4 years and 7 months into the game.
Oh, okay. I didn't do the math. I'm at 1757.
I am at 1727.
Okay.
I am not that far behind you guys. That's kind of surprising. Tomorrow is 1660.
All right. So we're all well on our way to the 5 year mark.
Yeah. I'm looking at a Invisible Woman not too far down the road sometime next week.
Cool. Hopefully it's the last one I need. Well, I'm going to open a token brought to you as always by this guy.
The OG this guy.
Nope, I've misplaced my tokens. I'm not as eager all of a sudden. All right, here we go. Carol, give me something good. Well, it was a Carol. Energy manipulation.
Oh, a 5-star?
No. Is there a 5-star? Oh. No, that would have been like, hey, what do you know? No.
I'm like,
no,
that was really bland for...
Nope. This is, and it's an excellent power on an excellent character. Just someone who I have champed, and so there's another level.
Right. All right. I got two.
Do it, Doug.
First one is a 4-star. Oh, I'm glad I have two. Sam Wilson, Captain America.
Yeah.
All right. Second go. Another 4-star. And this 4-star is plot armor. Gwenpool. There you go. Gwenpool and Captain America.
I'm so sorry. I really am.
Yeah, it wasn't
possibly
the best.
One of the worst weeks I've ever experienced. Anyway, go ahead.
So I'm hoarding for Hella drops Monday, I believe, replaces Kingpin. So I'm hoarding most of mine for then. But I am going to open one, and I'm hoping for a 4-star because my magic is a 4-4-4, and I'd really love to champ it tonight. It's a 4-star. Drax. Slice and dice.
And by the sound of your voice, I can hear that there's no bonus.
No bonus. And just ISO. Although my next Drax level, he's at a 297 now, so he's close to giving me a Star-Lord cover. And that Star-Lord cover would be really nice, because, like I said the last time I was on, my 5-star Star-Lord is one of my weak spots. That would that would be nice to get him from a 310 to a 320. But I'll probably get, three of him when I bust open all my tokens, desperately looking for that last magic, and looking for Talos when he finally becomes boosted, or when he finally enters the rotation and can be a bonus hero.
So, we mentioned Hela coming in. Who's leaving? I don't remember.
Kingpin.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be worth it. I was worried that Doom would be leaving.
No, you still have another few weeks with Doom, and because they've sort of rearranged their schedule... I think Doom's window is going to be a little bit longer than your typical...
Yay!
I think, every 6 weeks a 5-star rotates out? I think you'll have a little more time to work on Doom.
That's good news, because, man, I've not been having any luck. Anyway,
thanks, this guy.
This guy.
Opening yet another token. All right, so this fine show is part of an excellent podcast network, known as the Soon to Be Named Network, available at soontobenamednetwork.com. You can check out our show and many other choices there. We have them all on the website. We have some direct links on our webpage, puzzlewarriors3.com, or you can head straight over to Soon to Be Named Network at soontobenamednetwork.com for a complete archive of all of the shows. Any last bits before we wrap this up?
I think I'm good.
I don't know when I'm going to be on again, so I just want to give out a plug. If you are in the Eastern North Carolina area on May 22nd, our baseball museum is holding its charity golf tournament at the Wedgewood Public Golf Course in Wilson. If you would like any information, feel free to email the museum at ncbaseballmuseum@myglnc.com or look for the North Carolina Baseball Museum on Facebook.
Solid. That was very specific, like a very specific potential listener, like UNC fan number one, probably the only guy who could possibly attend that on a minute's notice. But maybe some of our other fans are East Coasters and they're really into golf.
Well,
I say do it.
I'm hoping somebody says, hey, I heard about you because then I can actually go to my board of directors and say, hey, I need an extra bit of advertising budget this year because I got something to try. And then I can sponsor whatever segment replaces the support corner or Always Sunny or something like that.
Forward thinking, man. I like it.
I like it. I love it. All right. So thank you, everyone, for joining us this week, especially our co-host UNC Samurai and all of our great listeners here on Discord and at home in their cars. But if you want more information on the show, you can go to puzzlewarriors3.com. We're on all the standard streaming services, iTunes, Stitcher, and more. Podomatic, perhaps. That's your preference. Please send all your commentary on the show to Ray via the forums, Reddit, I don't know, Facebook, Twitter. However you'd like to reach us, please do. We love hearing from you, and we'll get back to you if we are able. We have an Amazon banner on our website, puzzlewarriors3.com. If you travel to Amazon via that banner, then instead of giving your advertising dollars to worthwhile charities, you'll be giving it to us. So please consider that. Or if you would like to head over to our Patreon page and become a patron of the show, you can do it that way and cut out Jeff Bezos from that portion of the pie. We also, over at the Cafe Press, have Puzzle Warriors 3 swag that you can buy for your upcoming Easter egg hunt in your yard, or perhaps pioneer a good Friday present, a Passover present. I don't know what you're into, but buy our stuff. Buy my book. Oh, no, I forgot to make up a clue, and I'm not going to. We're going to kick off the Final Four next week, kids, so get ready for the ultimate superhero showdown. See how it all shuffles out. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you later. Goodbye, friends.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.